This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Welcome on into White Sox Weekly. What a fabulous opening day on Thursday. If you missed it, where were you? The White Sox are 1-0. They have turned the page on 2024, and it certainly feels like a refreshing voice on the top step for the White Sox has made an impact. It's one game, I understand it, but if you watched on Thursday, if you were here in attendance at Raitt Field, it just felt different. I'm not going to lie. It was clean baseball played all over the diamond and timely hitting, maybe some unexpected power at the plate as well. Just an absolutely fabulous opening day for the 2025 season here at Raitt Field, and we are getting set for the second of 162 games this year. Today, with a 1:10 first pitch coming your way, White Sox game two of a three-game set against the Los Angeles Angels. On the mound for the White Sox will be Jonathan Cannon today. He'll be opposed by Jose Soriano. We'll have plenty on the matchup today, not just in White Sox Weekly, but also on your pregame show, which starts at 12:30 today. Lots to cover today, though. Going to let you hear from White Sox GM Chris Getz, who spoke with the media on Wednesday when the White Sox held a pre-opening day workout. And obviously that worked out well because they got the 8-1 win on Thursday. So we'll let you hear a little bit from Chris Getz about the season outlook. Also let you hear from Will Venable very shortly after the White Sox win. You just inside the clubhouse too, the White Sox social media team put out the celebration from the team, which I'll let you hear a snippet of. And it just looks like everybody was having fun. And I know you don't want to overreact to opening day, but if you can't overreact to opening day, what are you doing watching baseball? I mean, that's what it's all about. You could not have dreamed up a better start for the 2025 season for the White Sox. And if you missed any of it, let's get you caught up right now with a little bit of the highlight package that we've put together for you. All right, so on Thursday, opening day, Sean Burke was on the mound, and he did end up getting the win, gave the White Sox six scoreless innings, but it wasn't as easy as it sounds. Six scoreless, but the first couple of innings, Sean Burke was in and out of a little bit of trouble, and in the second especially, Michael A. Taylor in left field came up with a nice defensive play that really did set the tone.
Deep left center, Taylor will leap, and he makes a catch. On the back pedal, Ohapi will tag and head to third. That is a gold glove play by Michael A. Taylor. Two down. Remember that play.
Indeed, I did, Len, because that play did help Sean Burke. The next batter grounds out to Jacob Amaya, and Sean Burke escapes that. And then after that, the next four innings, for the most part, Sean Burke cruised, and it really did help the White Sox start the season well. Now, a lot of focus on the White Sox here early, as you would expect, but I do want to point out and give a kudos to the White Sox fans who are in attendance, because Tim Anderson returned to his hometown. He's playing for the Angels, donning number 77. He was playing second base, hitting fifth, and he stepped to the plate for his opening introduction.
It's Tim Anderson. Tim stepping out of the dirt circle on the grass to take it all in. And a well-deserved hand from this crowd.
Well, I guarantee that's got his blood going.
It's nice to see the White Sox fans recognize T.A. He was the face of the franchise for a 2 or 3 year stretch there, with a lot of great moments, including who could forget the spectacular walk-off at the Field of Dreams game when the White Sox beat the Yankees. So it was cool to see that moment also occur on opening day. Now, to the White Sox highlights. So Austin Slater stepped to the plate in the bottom of the second to lead off the inning.
Slater hits one high and deep to left. That baby's going to go. 1-0 Sox, second inning.
So it was a well-hit shot by Slater. But the funny thing about baseball is that you don't always need to hit the ball hard. You just need to put it in the right spot. And Miguel Vargas did that later in the inning.
Pitch to Miguel, and he hits a high fly ball, shallow left center field. This ball's going to drop. Two runs will score. Vargas on his way to second with a double. It's 3-0.
Perfectly placed, and that's all you needed. A couple of runs score on that one, giving the Sox really all the runs they would need in the game. But that doesn't mean that it didn't get a little bit dicey later in the game. As I mentioned, Burke was cruising. He gave the White Sox 6 shutout innings, and we'll talk more about Sean Burke and what he was able to accomplish. But the White Sox did find themselves in a little bit of trouble in the top of the eighth, and that is when Will Venable chose to go to Mike Clevinger out of the pen to help him out. Now, Mike Trout walked, and that set the table for Jorge Soler, who was up with the bases loaded with Clevinger on the mound. And Clevinger pumped a 97-mile-per-hour fastball by Soler for strike two. But at that moment, things got a little bit scary because the count went full. And then that's when Clevinger reared back and gave us this.
3-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Oh, he swung at ball four. It was way up, but Soler couldn't help himself. Big strikeout for Clevinger, and the Angels leave the bases loaded.
Thank you, Jorge Soler. It was nice to have that, and everybody in attendance breathed a nice sigh of relief. And then in the bottom of the eighth, the White Sox and Andrew Benintendi gave all Sox fans all the comfort they needed.
Swing and a high deep drive to right. It is gone. That is a 3-run homer for Andrew Benintendi.
Now that was nice to see Benintendi dealing with that non-displaced fracture in his right hand that, you know, the timeline was initially that he would miss 4 to 6 weeks. He has certainly beat that timeline. I thought opening day, I thought there was no chance when he suffered the injury when he did that he would be able to be back in the lineup. He was the designated hitter, and designated hit he did with that home run there. And Will Venable shared with us the other day that, you know what? Injury is not going to keep Benintendi out of the field either, because Benintendi had mentioned that catching balls was actually giving him the most pain. Well, I can tell you right now, he's back in the lineup and he will be playing left field today. So you can expect to see Benintendi out in the field. So that's very good stuff. The injury did not inhibit Andrew Benintendi's regular season. Finally, Lenin Sosa, same bottom of the eighth there, came to the plate to give the White Sox their final runs of the game.
Sosa, high fly ball, left center field. This baby's going to go. How about that? Lenin Sosa with a 2-run shot and finally rewarded for some really good at-bats today.
That closed out the White Sox scoring. They were up 8-0 in the top of the ninth. Unfortunately, the only thing preventing it from being an absolutely perfect day was a Logan Ohapi solo shot in the top of the ninth to give the Angels to break up the shutout. But 8-1, hey, no one's going to complain about that. We will take it. And I will tell you, I was absolutely buzzing. It was a little bit chilly, but certainly we've seen far worse opening days here at Rate Field. And the fact that it was a beautiful win, just could not have asked for more. Then went home later that evening, and I'm telling you, I was like, all right, this is how you start a baseball season when you're trying to get past what was a woeful and awful year last year. That's exactly what you want. It helps set the confidence for the team. You know, I was, like I said, walking around the house, buzzing a little bit. And then sure enough, later in that day, to cap an absolutely fabulous Chicago sports day, the Bulls provided us with quite possibly the greatest final 13 seconds of an NBA game. Someone can challenge me on it, but I think it might be the best 13 seconds to end a game that I've ever seen. Adam Amin, Stacey King on the call, courtesy of CHSN.
12 seconds left. Bulls have to hurry.
Amin.
Get it into Vucevic. Quick pass to Williams. Big shot for three. Good. Two-point game, 9.8 left. Oh, who sparked Diddy? The steal! Right for the lead! The chip in last night to beat the Pacers. Doncic took the final shot before that. Here's Reeves. Reeves straight to the cup. Lays it in to take the lead. Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win. Go!
Oh my God! I cannot believe it.
Just capped an absolutely perfect day on Thursday for Sox and Bulls fans. Just, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it was, you know, this is why you watch sports, for days like Thursday. They don't come around too often. And I promise you that Sox fans, Bulls fans, 10, 15, 20 years from now, you will remember the 2025 opening day that had the Bulls close it out with that fantastic finish. It all flowed into one. So just a fabulous, fabulous way to start the season. Cannot wait for more baseball later today. Again, first pitch, White Sox and Angels coming your way at 1:10. I mentioned the video that the Sox social media team put out. This was Will Venable entering the clubhouse after the win, talking to his team.
Hey, thank you guys. A lot more to come. Way to go, dude. You, man.
So, and if, what you couldn't see, obviously, is that Will hopped into the team laundry cart and then was proceeded to be pushed around the clubhouse as they doused him in champagne for his first managerial win. Pretty cool to watch that. This was Will Venable after the White Sox first win this year.
They were excited. You know, obviously a great way to start the season. And, you know, they were very supportive of me getting my first win. So it was a good atmosphere there.
What about what Sean was able to do on the mound today?
Sean was great. I think, you know, really starts with the fans showing up and bringing energy, and Sean responds to that. All the guys respond to that. Sean was amazing. Obviously, worked through some trouble in there early, and then the slider was really working for him. Some weak contact, early contact, which got him through six with a good pitch count.
And you had some big at-bats from some of your guys.
Yeah, really quality bats really throughout the day. And a couple balls there that hit really well that didn't leave the park that might have on a different day. But, yeah, just really happy with everything all around. Good defense and just a good day.
There weren't a lot of fit vibes around the team at all last year. Just how good, especially for the guys that have been here, it was a start with a win like this.
Well, you know, this is a new season and a clean slate, and we're excited to get off to a good start. These guys have put in a lot of work in the off season, and obviously in spring training, and so for that to end in a win to start the season means a lot for us.
What kind of place did Sean show in his first two innings when he had those first and third situations? He was able to get out of them.
Say that.
What kind of poise did Sean share when he got those first and third situations?
A lot of poise. You know, he's under control at all times. I think he likes those moments where he has to, find another gear to get him through that stuff, and he's got the stuff to do it. Really fun to watch him go to work and fight through some adversity there.
What about what's with Mike Clevenger working on the edge? I mean, he got tacked on some runs at the end, but that was a big moment, 3-0. Navigating his way through that traffic.
Yeah, that was huge, you know, and, you know, we talked about those situations and who we want out there for that, and, you know, Mike's the guy, right? He handles those situations well. The test came early for him, you know, that was obviously a big moment to see him get out of there. It was nice to see.
So Mike's the guy you're kind of envisioning taking care of the ninth or just those high leverage late inning moments?
I think that's fair that you'll see him there in the back end. I think we also want to, have the flexibility to know that moment might come earlier in the game than the ninth inning, and we'll be mixing and matching. You saw Boots today and what he can do too. We have a lot of guys that we trust there on the back end, but yeah, Club is going to be a guy.
Did you envision Mike coming back for the ninth? It was still 3-0, or did you have
someone set up already for that?
You know, that was pretty high stress there. You know, he may have started that inning. Obviously, you know, we don't know, but that was pretty high stress there. And so we were ready to turn the page there and have Booze ready regardless of what happened.
I know it's only one game, but is there anything you did like about today? Things seemed to play out pretty well, like you wanted them.
Yeah, I mean, it was good defense. We limited walks. I think we had one walk there. And so, you know, quality at bats, not a lot to pick apart there. Just a good overall day for the guys.
What does it feel like for you to, you know, I mean, I know you managed before in spots, but this is your team now. You're the manager. What does it feel like to get that first win?
It feels great, you know. We know that the work obviously keeps going here. This is just the first one, but nice to get that one, and it feels good. And, you know, the guys made it special, and just, you know, appreciate all the support and love from all those guys.
Were you tipping your hat to your family or the crowd?
Yeah, I had the fam up there in the suite, so just giving them a little love.
What about the whole day, the whole experience, either from the pregame ceremonies all the way through?
Yeah, I mean, it's opening day. You know, it's a special day. A lot going on, obviously, but, you know, we enjoyed it. It was nice to play a game for real and to be in front of the fans and their support, and the way they came out and gave us energy really meant a lot. I don't know. You know, that's all those guys, you know. Just quality at bats. You know, those guys have been working really hard to make quality swings, you know, fine-tuning their approaches, and for it to result in some damage was nice.
You're a very low-key guy. Do you show emotion, or do you just keep it inside? Or?
There's emotion there. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, you tell me, you know, if I'm, you know, emotional, I'm not really paying attention to it. I'm just trying to focus on the game. So, but believe me, there's, emotions and a lot of thoughts going on.
Hey, Luis mentioned yesterday at the location approach at the plate this season. What did you kind of see in his at bat?
Who is that? I'm sorry?
Luis Robert.
Yeah, I mean, Luis, I think controlling the zone obviously is going to be huge for anybody. His ability to impact the baseball is, you know, up there with anybody in the league. So for him to have those quality at bats and, you know, early double there was really nice to see.
That is Will Venable, the undefeated White Sox manager at 1-0, as we get set to play the second game of the 2025 season. White Sox Angels coming your way, first pitch at 1:10. Lennon DJ on the call, of course. We'll get you going with a 12:30 pregame, but we've also got plenty of Sox coming here on White Sox Weekly today. Take control of your game day with a 10-ticket flex pack. Choose the games and seats you want. It's your season, your way. For more information, visit whitesox.com/ticket plans or call or text 312-674-1000 for that 10-ticket flex pack. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. Up next, the youngest NBA MVP joined Lennon DJ in the booth after throwing out the first pitch on opening day. If you missed it, I'll let you hear what Derrick Rose is up to these days before we jump into Chris Getz and plenty more from the White Sox side right here on White Sox Weekly on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. Getting set for Game 2 live from Wright Field. I'm Jeff Meller here on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network, bringing you up to our pregame show coming your way at 12:30 today. And, of course, first pitch, 1:10, Lennon DJ on the call. Jonathan Cannon opposing Angels starter Jose Soriano. White Sox and Angels out on the field right now, warming up just a bit ahead of Game 2 here. Hey, White Sox fans, join us for $5 Tuesdays. All fans will enjoy a specially priced $5 concessions menu, including draft beers from Miller Lite or Modelo, Garrett Popcorn Stadium Buttery, Vienna Beef Hot Dogs or Polish Sausages, Beggars Pizza Slices Nachos, and select Coca-Cola products. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/Tuesdays. As I mentioned on opening day, Derrick Rose was in the house, the youngest MVP in NBA history for the Bulls. He was in the house. He threw out the first pitch, and he joined Len Casper and Darren Jackson during the broadcast. If you missed it, this is what D. Rose is up to these days.
Derrick Rose has joined the broadcast after a perfect ceremonial first pitch. That's about as good as it gets.
That's a fact. Happy to be here, guys. How y'all been?
We're doing great.
That's great.
So good to see you. One of the biggest ovations of the day, maybe the biggest when you were announced, as hits a roller to short. So how's life these days, Derrick?
Oh, it's great, man. A lot of moving around, a lot of ideating with the team, a lot of moving parts, but at the same time, organizing my verticals and spending time with the kids. That's something I didn't want to trade. Going into the season, I put both on the scale, and my kids outweighed basketball. So, I'm giving them everything, getting my undivided, and understanding that what I'm building right now is an empire.
So, how's your body? You look great.
Thank you.
Have you been
really
able to rest?
Not that he's checking you out too hard.
No, I mean, have you been able to kind of take a breath and feel some stuff probably from 10, 15 years ago?
I have.
Here's the 0-1 Renhifo takes low.
I have. I'm actually been able to just get around a little bit, but at the same time sit still and understanding that what I'm manifesting right now is something that it's going to take time, and with me putting in that time, I know something special is going to come from it.
DJ, the thing I think about when I think about Derrick Rose is I don't know if I've ever seen a basketball player at any level when he wanted to take the ball to the hoop, nobody was going to stop him.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, Derrick, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2", 6'3".
I mean, you played like you were 6'8".
Yeah.
When you went to the basket, that's what it looked like, right?
Yes, sir.
That's impressive, to say the least, because when you just walked in and we shook hands, I'd met you when you first got drafted. You came up and we interviewed you, but I realized, oh, yeah, he's not 6'7".
No, not at all. It's the Chicago in me that makes me look like
that's
I'm 6'7".
Right. There you go. There you go.
I have no doubt you would have been embraced by this city had you been from someplace else, and you would have become kind of a son of the city, but I can't even imagine how cool it was. You still pinch yourself thinking about the fact that you got to do it in your home city.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't believe in coincidences, and I felt like me coming here and being a part of this and everybody being a part of my journey, I felt like, it was meant to be. And now my job coming back is to show growth. One of the things that I'm in, I have a paradigm that I'm going to continue to do is the flower shop, where I'm going to open up a flower shop and try unique ways to employ people and employ the youth along with training and developing and changing the scenery in certain neighborhoods. So really thinking in depth with some of the models, but at the same time, our biggest thing is employing people.
That's fantastic. D. Rose,
yes, sir.
Such a pleasure. And, man, we loved watching you do your thing. And
thank
nothing
you
but
everything.
The best.
Yeah.
The best chapters yet to come, right?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Derrick Rose with Len Casper and Darren Jackson in the booth for opening day after throwing out the opening pitch here at Rate Field. I'm Jeff Meller. This is White Sox Weekly. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. I mentioned White Sox general manager Chris Getz met with the media on Wednesday when the White Sox held their final workout before the season began. We'll let you hear what Chris Getz had to say, some of it, especially including what a successful season looks like for the White Sox. I know Sox fans are curious because, of course, after last year, what could a turnaround look like? What are positive results for the Sox this year? Chris Getz weighed in on that, along with plenty of other topics. Let you hear what the White Sox GM had to say when we come back right here on White Sox Weekly on the ESPN 1000 Hard Rock Casino White Sox Network.